Hello and welcome to OU's Nach Yomi. You can find this year posted at ouradio.org/nach or on my website, ericlevy.com, under the recording section.
Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy, and I am pleased to bring to you Psalm 58, Tehillah Nun Chet. In the previous lesson, in Psalm 57, I mentioned that even though it was a personal lament, the psalmist there is so confident in his own faithfulness to God and in God's commitment to set things right that there's barely a word of complaint. And there's not too much mention of the enemy. Even when the enemy is mentioned, it's more about how he is sure that they, the enemy, will soon fail and will soon fall. Well, in this psalm, David makes up for it with a scathing attack on these same enemies. He describes their shortcomings in loving detail, wishes disaster upon them, and compares them to snakes, lions, slugs, and the like. His prayers for their destruction are so forcefully stated. This is a psalm directed at them, to them, and is all about them, the worst kind of people. People who have others' lives in their hands and deal with them unjustly. Lamnatzeach al tashchet leDavid michtam. For the maestro, al tashchet, perhaps meaning against destruction or to prevent a destruction, a michtam by David, with michtam being some type of musical instrument or arrangement, probably. Ha'umnam elam tzedek tidaberun meisharim tishbitu b'nei adam. Do you think you speak justice to the masses? Do you think that you judge humans fairly? We had the word elam in the previous psalm, meaning perhaps silenced. However, here most of the commentators prefer an etymology from a bundle of wheat stalks, an aluma, so I translated it the masses. It fits very nicely because there's a parallel between the two parts of this poetic line. Tidaberu in the first part matches a similar meaning to Tishbetu in the second part. Tzedek is very similar in meaning to Meisharim, and Elam therefore must be similar to Bnei Adam, so it seems like the masses or the congregation is a good translation. Af Believe olot tif alun ba'aretz chamasi dechem tifal leisun. Not only do you fashion your evil internally, not only do you keep it in your hearts, olot is not like sacrifices. Olot is like avelot, or sins. Remember that the consonantal vav was pronounced in ancient times like a wah, like in Arabic, and which is very much like the Yemenite Jews pronounce it today. So the wah sound easily turns into the vowel form of the vav. You go from avel to awel to ol, very simply. Getting back to the verse, not only do you fashion your evil internally, but the crimes of your hands you dole out in the land. And the irony here is that the word tefales comes from the word to measure or to measure out. And while measuring is meant to guarantee fairness, you, the evil one, the one who is unfair in your rulings, you corrupted the scales of justice and therefore measure out destruction on those that that were coming to you for justice. Now, David is not going to stop at just accusing them of dishonest actions. He's not going to focus just on their actions. He goes right to the core of their very existence. Zoru Rishaim Meirachem Ta'u Mibeten Dovirei Chazav. Wicked people are spewed out from the womb, and liars are crooked as soon as they are born, as soon as they come from the belly, literally. Chamat lamo kidmut chamat nachash kimofeten cheresh ya'teim ozno. Their poison is like the poison or the venom of a snake, like a deaf python who stops up his ears. So not only are they snakes, and not only are they dangerous, venomous snakes, they are snakes that close their ears. Now, of course, snakes can't close their ears. They don't use their ears for hearing. Our psalmist, they don't even have ears in a literal sense. Our psalmist is using a common technique in Psalms, and what he's doing, and in fact, it's a technique that exists in poetry in general. That is, what he's doing is you start with the metaphor, you start with the image, which here is the venomous, dangerous, poisonous python, and slowly the referent that the image stands for, which here is the wicked person who lies and distorts justice, fades in, and then we have a superimposed image of the image of the snake and of the criminal who's stopping up his ears like a python, so to speak. Why is he doing this? Asher lo yishma lekol melachashim chover chavarim mechukan. So he, the python, won't hear the sound of the snake charmer, so he won't hear the author of expert compositions, Chavarim Michukam. The compositions were no doubt in the image sense, the compositions are the rhymes or spells that a snake charmer would keep to control the snake and keep him from striking. But the superimposed image, that is the image of the reference of what the image is really referring to, can be felt with the word mechukam, which on one hand means these very crafted and well-crafted snake charms, but on the other hand means wisdom. That is, these dishonest jurists are being advised by the wise. They hear that what they are doing is wrong from chachamim, from wise people. They are shown compositions, books of wisdom, in order to set them on the right path. But they stop up their ears so that they can continue doing what they're doing, so they continue striking like this venomous snake, which means that they are completely and totally aware of what it is that they are doing. And now David wishes only the worst for these people. In this lament, so focused on the enemy and on their premeditated venom, that the troubles are really never spelled out. The rabbis of antiquity, they historicize, as they often do, and say that the enemy is Avner and other of Saul's advisors, like Doeg the Edomite, because these advisors kept goading Saul, King Saul, into pursuing David by lying about what David does and what he feels and whether he's an immediate threat, and lying to Saul about what he needed to do. This reminds me, and please forgive the comparison, since Avner ben Ner was considered to be a righteous man in his own way, but it reminds me of Wormtongue in The Lord of the Rings, who whispered evil advice on the behest of the enemy to corrupt and confound the king of Rohan. So it's this Wormtongue character that without him, somebody would do the right thing, but with him there, he corrupts the entire system of justice. If we don't historicize, however, the enemy sounds like judges and jurists, people in authority of other people's lives, and they're putting people to death, or enriching themselves, or making people poor, or enslaving people based on their whims, or based on bribes, or based on some vengeance that they may have, whatever. Whatever they're doing, they're not taking the advice to correct their practices. And this is what David is suffering from. And this is, that is when, both for himself probably, as well as for the people that he's in charge of. And the solution for such miserable, intractable villains is their own destruction. Elohim haras shineimo befimo malteot kfirim natots Adonai. O God, break their teeth in their mouths. O Lord, shatter the fangs of these lions. Remember that in the previous psalm, David also spoke about lions, levaim, and about their teeth, shineihem chanit v'chitzim. But there, David didn't wish for their destruction. He merely expressed his confidence that they would be destroyed and that he, David, would overcome. But based on the matching imagery between the two psalms, I think that David is referring to exactly the same group here, perhaps, in fact, inspired by the same events, except here he goes right for the jugular. Yima'asu k'chimo mayim yitalachu lamo, yidroch k'chitav k'mo yitmolalu. As water flows away, so let them melt away. Let them loose their arrows as if they, their shooting arms, I guess, were withered. The only problem with that translation of the second half of that line is that the subject of yidroch and chitzav is singular. So literally it means let him loose his arrows. So it's hard to say it's the enemy, since the enemy seems to be in the plural, yimasu kimo mayim. So the correct or literal translation is somewhat out of balance with the first half of the line. The first half of the line was focused on the enemy, but here it seems to be let him, i.e. let God, loose his, i.e. God's arrows, until they, the enemy, are withered. So the second one is much more grammatical, but the first one, not only does it match the first half of the poetic line, but it also matches by talking about how their teeth should be shot as if they themselves are withered. It matches the image that we had in the previous verse where their teeth and their speech were metaphorized as arrows which cut down the people that they are judging. Kimo shablul temes yahaloch nefel eshet bal chazu shamish. Like a snail or probably a slug, let them melt away as they move. Let them be like a stillborn who never sees the sun. The psalmist here is definitely not mincing words. Beterem yavinu sirotechem atad kimochai kimocharon yisarenu. A difficult verse, perhaps it means, let them be like their pots, sirotechem, that don't feel the bramble, atad, i.e. they don't feel the fire that is burning up these brambles after the cook lights the fuel under the pot, because these brambles burn so quickly and so hot. Getting back to the verse, let them be like the living who in anger, kamo charon, he, God, blows them away in a storm. So in the end, the imagery fades out. The python and its venom, the lion and its fangs, the slug and its slime trail. And we return to the original, the referent, the wicked who in God's anger should be blown away like a person caught in the hurricane. And then the only image left is that the force of God's charon, God's wrath, is like the force of a massive storm. Once that's all done, and the enemy and everything that's been said against the enemy, their person, their actions and wishes for their destruction, comparing them to the worst type of creatures, once all of that is done, we have Yismach Tzadik Chi Chaza Nakam, Pe'amav Yirchatz Bidam Harasha. The righteous will be happy when he sees the vengeance, the comeuppance. He will wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. So even when the psalmist is talking about the happiness of the good, the enemies are still around being trampled underfoot. And this is exactly the opposite of the previous psalm, which did not focus on the enemies, or not really focus on the enemies in an extreme or even in a straightforward fashion. V'yomar adam ach pri latzadik ach yesh Elohim shofetim ba'aretz. And man will say, indeed, there are just deserts, pri, for the righteous. There is even a God and good judgments, or perhaps better, good judges in the land. The main judge of a leader, of a king, of our psalmist, is to guarantee that people who are put in positions of authority and judgment are not corrupt. Because corruption not only kills the people who are being judged, it kills any faith in a just system and therefore in any kind of a government at all which can unite the people. The psalmist is telling us not to tolerate it, not to be merciful about it, since it causes the absence of real judges and the absence of God from being around. It causes the absence of any kind of moral and ethical system. Once the wicked are crushed, however, God and his judges and his moral system can return.